I cannot fall. Spirit's call. Resting. Oh, I like that. Ready with our conversation. Brian, I can't flee. Resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Well, I'm just singing an invitation song right now. You have the notes, the bulletin. I'm going to talk about the most dangerous word just very briefly now. On the word tomorrow. Yeah, well, we'll talk about it tomorrow. I may postpone this lesson until next Wednesday. Tomorrow. Sometimes it's interesting when I get a lesson up and then I read something in the funny, well, in the newspaper. I shouldn't be just the comic. But it relates to the lesson. And here's this person standing beside another person in bed. And the one that's standing up comes into this person's bedroom and says, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life." And the one guy in bed looks like he's rolling over and he said, "So is tomorrow." So is tomorrow. Sometimes that's the way we live our lives. And so I kind of put in this lesson, one of the most dangerous words we can say is tomorrow. Tomorrow. Puts off what we should do today. More absentees have been neglected. More lessons gone unprepared. More lost people gone unsaved because of this word, tomorrow, tomorrow. Satan may never destroy your faith in the Bible. He may not destroy your belief in God. But if he can get you to say this word, then he's won the battle, tomorrow. Solomon said in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not of tomorrow, but knowest not what a day may bring." So I put in the introduction of your notes, there's two reasons, probably more. But two reasons why this is the most dangerous word. Because tomorrow you may lose your desire to become a Christian or to accomplish a task. You lose your desire. I think of something about someone that says, "Oh, I owe this person a thank you or an apology, but I just haven't got around to it yet, Brian." And then they say, "You know, well, after a period of time, you know, so long has passed, I think it's too late to do it." Well, they still have the opportunity, but they've lost the desire for whatever reason. And so they don't do it. Still have opportunity, but no desire. So the danger of saying tomorrow, one or two things may happen. Tomorrow comes, but you may lose your desire to do what you're supposed to do. Number two, you may lose your opportunity because tomorrow may never come. May not be there. I remember a time when I kept putting off writing someone. It was my childhood friend, Jim Doctor. He had written me years ago on an email. I thought, "Oh, I'm going to get back to him." I had the desire. I kept thinking, I'm going to write old Jim Doctor. He died last month. I got a call from another childhood friend, the neighborhood guy. And Denny Cross called Brian. "Denny, I haven't heard from you in 15 years. You know, I called to tell you Jim Doctor died." I thought, the first thought he even said to Denny, he wrote to me just several years ago. I want to write him. I want to call. I had the desire. But I don't have the opportunity. Opportunity's gone. The danger of delay. Those two things. You either lose your opportunity, you may lose your desire. You know, we have slogans to illustrate that. "He who hesitates is lost." We use that. We always say, you know, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. See a sign many times in offices that says, "Do it now." Do it now. Why? The danger of delay, of saying tomorrow. I don't know who the author is. Says there's a loving letter I mean to send. There's a visit I mean to pay. There's careless habit I hope to mend when I get time someday. Well, there's a dusty Bible I mean to read. And there's an hour I know I'll keep to pray. And I'll turn each dream to a golden deed when I get time someday. I'll carry flowers to the sick and sad. I'll seek for those who stray. Oh, you can trace my steps by hearts made glad when I get time someday. And so we've thought, and so we've said, yet how sad to relate that just with less important things, we've waited till too late. I gave you four Bible examples. I'm not going to reread the stories. But the story that was read to us this morning of the ten ladies, their tomorrow is just a matter of time. Plenty of time to be prepared. At one time, they weren't prepared. But then while they slumbered and slept, when they, you know, there was five of them that said, oh, we ran out of oil. Can you give us yours? No, can't do that. Accountability, individual accountability. So when they went to buy their necessary oil, they came back, and now they're ready. I'm ready for the bridegroom now, but while they were away, the bridegroom came, and the door was shut. Now they have the desire, but they don't have the opportunity. They even beat on the door. Lord, let us in. Now the door's shut. It's a judgment day picture. So the message is, we need to be ready to meet our God today, because tomorrow may never come. We understand that idea. So many times somebody will say, oh, let's go, maybe as a family, let's go away for the weekend. Oh, man, I have so many things to do. I have to make some preparations. Or can you come over? Oh, I can't right now. I need to do this or that. The other. We understand the need to prepare. That's what the story was that was read to us this morning about those ladies. We need to prepare to meet God. Make preparation. Not tomorrow. Do it today. Do it today. The second illustration I gave in your notes was a story about a certain rich man. This man announced everything he was going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow. But the night passed and the day dawned, that tomorrow came, that tomorrow, the one he had counted on, one he was looking forward to. I'm going to build bigger barns tomorrow. The tomorrow was there, but he wasn't. Lost his opportunity. And the lesson doesn't mean to forget the future. It doesn't mean to give future, don't give the future any thought. We need to give it forethought. Any worthy life needs to plan ahead. Certainly we want to count the cost. And even the comfort of today is the fruit of labor that we had sown yesterday. So the problem was not building bigger barns or thinking about the future. The problem was that he met his appointed day of death and was not rich toward God. That's the text. He was not rich toward God. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. Each morning he'd stack up the letters he'd write tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was too busy to see Bill, but he promised to do it tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would have been tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is, he died and faded from view, and all that was left when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Put in your notes about a man named Felix. Put the scripture reference there. You can read that story. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, was preaching an important message to Felix and his wife Drusilla. The Apostle Paul tells Felix about righteousness when Felix was unrighteous. He preaches to Felix, it's in the text, about self-control. When Felix had none. Paul preaches to Felix about the judgment to come. Though Felix now sat and judged others, Paul said there's a time coming when he would be judged by Jesus. When Felix hears that message, he trembles. He trembles. He's moved to obey. He knew to obey, but he doesn't. He has a convenient season, and that's what he says to Paul. When I have a convenient season, or go away, when this convenient season comes, I'll call for you. It's interesting in the text, he does call for Paul again. For 2 years, he hears Paul speak to him. They perhaps have a dialogue back and forth. But the text never tells us whether he obeyed or not. You see, the danger of delay. The soul has this favorable moment. Felix trembled. But it's interesting that we never have a record of him trembling again. He trembled that day when Paul preaches to him. When he reasons of righteousness, self-control, and judgment. Oh, it's a powerful message. Oh, I have the desire. I'm moved, but tomorrow. Look, he had 2 years of tomorrows. As far as we know, he never obeyed. You see, the soul has its favorable moments. And when we have that favorable moment and we don't act upon it, there's the danger of delay. That tomorrow comes and we either lose our desire or lose our opportunity. Someone may be moved today by the lesson that's presented. And they feel like, I'm not a Christian, I want to become a Christian. I just feel like I need to do it right now. But then you may, whatever reason, you may look at the time, I don't have time. I don't want to delay the people from going from where they might have to go right afterwards. We all of a sudden, all these excuses come into our mind. So, no, I better wait till next Sunday. So next Sunday comes and Brother Brian preaches, a powerful lesson. Powerful sermon. But they're not trembled. They don't tremble like they did last Lord's Day. What happened? What happened? The danger of delay. Someone may be moved on one Lord's Day and they may hear me or somebody else preach 2 years of Sundays and not be moved again. Either lose your desire or you lose your opportunity. The last one I put in your notes, King Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, verses 27 and 28, Paul again. King Agrippa, thou believest the prophets? He said, Paul, by inspiration, I know thou believest. The problem is not faith or belief on Agrippa's part. But then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. He has desire, he has opportunity, but he says, I'll wait. He has a wait problem. Almost. But lost. Maybe someone here again this morning moved to obey at some time and you didn't. Maybe you did lose your desire, but you haven't lost your opportunity. So hopefully this morning you have opportunity. I pray you have desire to become a Christian. I spent my money foolishly in Satan's deadly snare. Christ asked me but to give him my love, but that I couldn't spare. I wasted hours carelessly in gay, exciting chime. He asked me to follow him, but I didn't have the time. He pleaded, go with me to lands where tears shall never flow. But I said in friendly tones, but cold, tomorrow I may go. He bowed his head and turned to leave. And then I heard a small voice say, my friend, tomorrow may never come. Give him your life today. Today. Most remission of sins. We can accomplish that. Why, brethren, as Betty already has, to pray with you or for you. We can accomplish that too. Just simply need to let your request be known. We provide an opportunity for you to do that. We sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you need to respond, or if that's your desire, to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me. And at the end of the song, I'll just simply ask what's on your mind. And you say, Brian, I want to be baptized. Or, Brian, I want brethren to pray with me or for me. We can accomplish that. So let's stand together and sing the song that ends the selected for us.